Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll, and this is the Progressive Commentary Hour. And now we're going to Germany, where standing by is my guest to talk about something that the mainstream American media and much of the alternative media has refused to acknowledge, that information on COVID-19 and the pandemic, their narrative, has flaws. Who can we believe? What can we believe? And my guest is going to take these one by one and try to dissect them and give you honest, scientifically based answers. Nothing we're going to be talking about is about polemics. It's not about ideology. It's not about politics. It's just about truth and public health. Now, for the overview, before we go to our guest, I am amazed that in my career, which is 55 years in the public interest, as a scientist, as a broadcaster, as a journalist, investigative journalist, I have never once seen so much misinformation on a given topic that impacts so many people. Now, if it was all true that the vaccines were safe and effective, and that this was done in a transparent way and done properly, with all of the steps taken to prove that it would be safe, the precautionary principle, first do no harm, I would be fully supportive of this vaccine or these vaccines as I have with historical vaccines. In fact, none of the people that you've heard on this program in the last year and a half are anti-vaccine, not one. To the contrary, these are all your orthodox, more often than not, board-certified physicians and scientists, sometimes both a physician and scientist. These people have published individually dozens to hundreds of articles in the mainstream peer-reviewed journal, collectively hundreds of thousands. One person alone had over 600 articles in the peer-reviewed literature as one of the most cited scientists in the world on PubMed, the government's official repository of accurate quality information. And yet, when people go to challenge some aspect of the pandemic, now there are people calling them right-wing, fascist, racist, and saying there should be no dialogue. They should have no rights. They should not be able to speak. They should be destroyed. This is McCarthyism at its worst. And when you censor those who have the information and want to have an honest, open, and civil dialogue, what does that tell us about the people who are trying to control the narrative? My guest will address these issues. My guest is Dr. Sucharit Bukti. Let me spell the name. Sucharit Bhakdi. Now, who is he and what gives him, some reference that he is a person to listen to? First of all, he's an American-born physician trained in Germany. He's been in the medical field now for 5 decades. He received his medical degree from the University of Bonn and did his postdoctoral work at one of the most prestigious institutes in the world, the Max Planck Institute of Immunology and Epigenetics, before becoming an associate professor at the Institute of Medical Microbiology at Griesen University. Later, he was appointed as the chair of medical microbiology at the University of Mainz, again, one of Germany's most outstanding and Europe's research institutions and universities. He has published more than 300 articles in the fields of immunology, bacteriology, and virology, and he's received numerous awards, including the Order of Merit of the Rhineland, and one of the highest you can receive in Germany. In his book, co-written with his biologist wife, Dr. Rina Reis, Corona False Alarm, Facts and Figures, which has been written for the layperson to understand the pandemic clearly and separate out myth from reality. By the way, it became a national bestseller in Germany and later rapidly receiving international attention. Nice to have you with us again.
Hello, all of you.
It's been almost a year. It's been a year since you were last a guest on this program. In the interim, we have had many wonderful guests to further contribute to better understanding the numerous falsehoods we are being fed by the medical establishment. Dr. Jessica Rose, Dr. Peter McCullough were just on last week. And during that time, the vaccines have been rolled out to countless people. and we're now seeing the consequences. Injuries into the hundreds of thousands to millions, depending upon the country. And you're just using official statistics from the European database alone, just from this week, we're approaching 3 million injuries, and many of those, and up to a half, are serious injuries. Some will be lifelong. Plus, they're approaching 30,000 deaths in the United States. We are told by Dr. Rose that the actual figures, since they're grossly underreported, and we know that for a fact because we've had people on this program who've worked at hospitals across the United States who tell us there's just not enough time in their day, seeing all the patients, to sit down and spend 20 minutes to a half hour filling out all the material for the vaccine adverse event reporting system. And then also some hospitals, the doctors don't want to assign the injury or death to the vaccines. So there's out and out denial of causality. So injuries and death are piling up. The evidence is piling up that everything these vaccines were promised, they're safe and effective. They're simply failing in that regard. In retrospect, your predictions a year ago are coming true. So I'd like, if you would please, to begin by taking us on a situation of what we know now, what you have been able to determine, looking at the scientific literature that challenges Anthony Fauci, the World Health Organization, the U.S. Public Health Service, CDC, and the FDA's statements about the safety and efficacy of these experimental injections, and what new concerns you have that the boosters are being approved and rolling out as we speak, and what may that portend, since now we're getting overwhelmed with adverse reactions. We've had these on our program. We've had the people suffering from paralysis, Guillain-Barré syndrome, carditis, and other conditions from the vaccines, and yet nobody in the mainstream media has had a single one of these on. They don't want to hear from these people. They don't want you to know their adverse effects. They're not willing to acknowledge all this, and yet they're willing to be responsible for 7.7 billion people's fate on this planet. The forum is yours, sir.
Well, Gary, well said. I understand every word that you have said. It's all correct. And Karina, my wife and myself, are simply at the end of our wits because all of this that is happening points to one and only one conclusion, and that is that this whole pandemic has been planned, and that there's horrible criminal intent behind it. Horrible. So horrendous and horrible that the thought of it just drives us to despair, because we are at the mercy of the rulers of this earth, of the few rulers of this earth, and they are out to get us. Now, with regard to what is the ultimate aim of the corona pandemic, I am now sure that the ultimate aim is to get these vaccines authorized, to have the full authorization for these damned gene-based vaccines that are already injuring and killing so many people in the world. And so our main intent and all our energy is presently being focused towards informing doctors. The physicians of this world have been central. They have been pivotal in allowing this to happen. If we doctors had not done this, those politicians, Mr. Global or Mrs. Global or whatever, would never have been able to institutionalize what is now being done, what is happening to our children, to our friends and relatives all around us. Never. So I am currently preparing a talk that is going to be given in front of the Swiss Parliament very soon. And the summary is very, very simple. Point number one, and I will be addressing the doctors as I'm doing right now with you in your show. I want to address my colleagues because they have allowed this to happen, and only they can stop it, only the physicians. And it is very, very easy. Why? First, may I just tell you first what I think, and then we can answer questions. Is that all right?
Or of course, like... fine. No, please continue.
First, and I'm concentrating now on the vaccination program, because as I said before, I think that this vaccination agenda is the ultimate goal of those people who have planned this. They want these vaccines to be fully authorized. Why do they want that? Because once the COVID-19 vaccine has full authorization, then the following vaccines against the so-called variants or mutants or blah, 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 will be automatically authorized without any more clinical trials. And then nothing that has not been accepted as an adverse serious reaction will be accepted for them. So, simply speaking, at the moment, if you get vaccinated and you die of a cerebral venous clot in your brain, and many have died, not so many that people would become generally alarmed, because it is a rare event that you will die of this. And if you die of it in the next years with the next vaccines, you may get maybe a compensation for it, because it would be accepted as a serious adverse reaction for which someone has to pay, okay? But if, for instance, you have Guillain-Barré syndrome, or you get a paralysis, or you have a permanent condition of your nervous system that is not now recognized because not enough people have looked at it, not enough people have said, yes, there is a connection, then that will never be recognized, despite the fact that the next vaccines will all be authorized automatically. So this means that liability, no one is going to be held responsible. And if you get that damn shot and drop down dead from a lung embolism that is not recognized today as a consequence of the vaccination, it's your tough luck. If you die because you have a heart attack, it's your tough luck. Of if you have a brain hemorrhage, it's your tough luck, all right? So this is what they're aiming for. And my great fear, our great fear, is that they aim to get this done this month. This month. And as you know, the FDA has already fully authorized one of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccines. Weirdly enough, and interestingly enough, not the vaccine that is being used in America at the moment. So what this means is that our great fear, our terror, our anxiety is that this full authorization is going to come from the authorities in America, in England, in Europe, blah, blah, blah. And with that, our fate is going to be sealed. Our fate, yours and mine and our families, because then they are going to start mandating this vaccination and saying, if you don't get vaccinated. And the Danes have said today, if no more Danes get vaccinated, they're going to go back to the lockdown. So what they really are aiming for is to get this vaccination done in the world. As Bill Gates declared, one oh my God, over 1.5 years ago, he openly declared that, and our so-called Chancellor Merkel, in German Merkel, said that this pandemic will only end after 85% of the population is vaccinated. Now, this is so revealing that you can't understand why people accept this. And the mainstream, of course, are all bought. They're corrupt as hell. And we all know this. And that's why they're not reporting it. Because if they report it, then they are going to go broke. Okay. Now, let's get back to brass tacks. What are the facts? There are three. Fact number one is this damn vaccination is not necessary. Why? Because it is now known and scientifically established that all people, virtually all people in the world, have a background immunity against this new virus, because the virus is not really new. I said this 1 year ago to you, and it has turned out to be entirely true. I have to say that nothing that we have written or said has turned out to be wrong up to now. So listen very well. We said 1 year ago that the population is not endangered because we have background immunity, because our immune system cross-reacts with normal coronaviruses, which have been with us over the centuries, the thousands of years that man has existed. And the immune system has a long, long memory and is extremely effective. So this is the reason why people with no pre-existing illnesses, they simply will not die because of this virus. It's different with tetanus, for instance. You know, tetanus, anyone in the world can get tetanus if he's not vaccinated, because the bug, the bacterium, is everywhere in the soil of all the planet, all the countries on Earth. And if you go around sticking Earth into a deep wound, you can get tetanus. And if you're going to get tetanus, your chances to die are about as big as 100 years ago, namely 90% to 100%. That's why vaccination against tetanus is very meaningful. I am not an anti-vax. I have been teaching this all my life. Get vaccinated against tetanus. Okay, no problem. But if a bug comes around, like the coronavirus, that is killing 0.15% of the infected at most, 0.15% of the infected below 70 years of age, don't start thinking about vaccinating, because, first of all, you know, our chances of dying if we contact an infection is always given. And if someone has a pre-existing illness, whether he contacts the coronavirus or the flu or the common cold, his chances of dying are absolutely the same. So if you're not going to, it's the risk-benefit situation that is decisive. What is the benefit and what are the risks? The benefit for people without pre-existing illness is zero. It's zero. And you heard Peter McCullough speak, and he has been telling the world for months now that there are extremely good medicines with which you can treat even those seriously ill people with pre-existing disease, and then you will reduce the mortality by 70 to 80%. That makes corona less dangerous than the flu, even for people elderly with pre-existing disease. That was my first point. My second point is that this vaccination cannot work. And we have been saying this for months now. Why can't it work? It can't work because the antibodies that are produced if you plunge a needle into your arm, that vaccine is going to induce antibodies that are on the wrong side of the wall. They are in the blood. They are never, ever secreted out to the outside of the blood vessels, which are the air spaces, all right? Now this virus comes in through the airway, through the air spaces. It flies in and it contacts your lung cells, but there are no antibodies there to stop their entry into the lung cells. There aren't any. And therefore, you can measure those antibodies in blood, but that measurement means nothing. And the fact is that the CDC, I think it was 10 weeks ago or 9 weeks ago, officially conceded, declared, confessed that the vaccination was not stopping infection. Now, can you imagine this? You can look at this video. You know, the CDC says, we declare that the infections are not stopped in people who have the antibodies. Now, so why in God's name are you going to want to immunize anyone if those antibodies are not protective? So now I come to my third point. On the contrary, and this is what I said 1 year ago, everything that any medic can read in the textbooks of medicine, immunology, and cell biology, anyone can read this. He will read and see that these vaccines are doomed to endanger people. It cannot be otherwise. And the mechanisms leading to injury and damage of vaccinated are so clear-cut, so well known, that I am simply unable to understand why my other colleagues don't understand this. I will not start talking about immunology right now. In a nutshell, however, one can say that once you plunge these damn vaccines into your muscle, they are going to reach the bloodstream and the lymph nodes. And anyone who says that this is not true should come forth and show us why he says this, because he is lying. It is known definitively that these vaccines reach the lymph nodes and the bloodstream. Wherever they come, they're going to be taken up by the cells that they reach. So they will be taken up by the cells in your lymph nodes, and those are the cells of your immune system. They're going to be taken up by the cells that line the blood vessels, like the tapestry on the wall, and your tapestry is going to start producing these damn spikes. Your cells of the immune system are going to start producing these damn spikes in the lymph nodes. What happens? We are all already protected against this virus because our immune system knows the virus. The virus is not new to the immune system. And the immune system has been trained over years to fight the cells and kill the cells that dare to produce the virus. That is the essence of protection. That is immune protection against a respiratory virus. That's how it works. The immune system cannot prevent the entry of the virus into your lung cells, but the immune system can damn well kill those lung cells that have been infected. Now, this virus does not leave the lung. Anyone who declares this is not saying the truth, and there is all data to show that the virus that enters the lungs of patients will not leave the lung in quantity. A few may leave it, but that would not be enough to kill a person. However, with this damn vaccine, what happens is that the gene of the virus, not the whole virus, but the spike, the gene, is a wolf in sheep's clothing because it's packaged in these lipid droplets that are not seen by the immune system. So these lipid droplets pass by, they cannot be stopped, and they will pervade the body and be taken up by cells simply by chance. Wherever they meet a cell and where they have a chance because the blood flow is slow enough, and in the lymph nodes, of course, it will be taken up in quantity. What then happens is that the cells that take these spike genes up, the vaccines, start to produce the vaccines, the spikes, and immediately the immune system will come out and try to kill those cells. It's got to happen. It can't be otherwise. That's what God gave all you Christians, all you Americans, all these Europeans who have never, ever taken time to think about this. It's not a good idea at all to interfere with your God's work. If he gives you genes to be expressed in your body, that's perfect. But if he does not give you genes, don't go around injecting genes into your body. This is a catastrophe. You're meddling with God's work, all right? So what will then happen is that one of the greatest gifts of God, which is your immune system, is going to turn around and attack you. And this is what is being this is what is happening now, day and night, all over the world. And it's unbearable. It's unbearable, I tell you. Now, what will then happen? The cells that are attacked are going to be damaged. If the cells in the blood vessels are damaged, you're going to get blood clots, okay? The vessels are going to start to leak. So if someone, after the second shot, says, oh, why do I have these blood spots appearing on the skin? It's because the immune system is killing those cells that dare to produce these spikes, and those are the cells of your vessels. If you start to bleed and you see the blood, you know, under your skin, you can be damn sure that this is happening in many, many organs of your body. It's just that you don't see it. And this is a nightmare. If you start to bleed in your brain, God help you. If you start to bleed in your heart, God help you. No one else can. No one else will. And these damn politicians certainly will not. And the doctors who have never taken any, you know, they haven't taken any time off to start reading up about these things that are known. They'll say, well, don't worry, it cannot be the vaccine. How do they know this? How can they know this? Now, one next thing, and then I'm almost finished, almost, is what happens if your immune cells that are in the lymph nodes kill each other? This is what's happening. You know, it's a brotherly battle. It's something that never happens otherwise. One lymphocyte in the lymph node starts to make this spike. The lymphocyte that it combats the virus is sleeping beside it, will immediately jump up and try to kill it. This is fraternal battle. And it is something that has never happened before. So we are witnessing a fascinating experiment in biology, probably the most fascinating experiments ever performed by man. However, it is now being performed on man, on children, on hapless, absolutely defenseless people. And the politicians are forcing, not only the politicians, the physicians are forcing them to do this.
I'd like to interject here because of something you just said. I don't know if you're familiar with the story of an emergency room medical doctor in a large Ontario hospital who was fired because she was asking about D-dimer tests she was ordering for vaccine-injured patients coming into the ER. What she stated was that some of the results were off the charts, 2,000, 3,000, and as high as 5,000, although even a result of 500 would require additional testing and do scans to rule out a major embolism or blood clots. And she's getting something that's 10 times that, 1,000 times more, and the results from other scans and diagnostic tests will come out negative. So you could go into a hospital, they would give you a CAT scan, they give you an MRI, any test they have, they're not going to detect these micro clots. They're too small. As a result, the doctor, the diagnostician would say, well, we can't find anything, so there must not be anything there. And then the person ends up having these conditions all over their body. Also, so that's one issue. And now we're seeing that the spike proteins from the RNA vaccine are circulating and infiltrating tissue throughout the body, but none singularly create a clot or embolism that would be identified by the other scans. So when they designed this test and the implementation, nobody anticipated circulatory organ challenges by microclotting. And then no one anticipated young people who are virtually immune if they don't have comorbidities and the several hundred who have died out of over 20 million young people. The vast majority of those, over 90%, had comorbidities like leukemia or obesity or heart conditions. But the actual virus itself, according to the FDA, has only been responsible for about 7% of all the mortality. And yet we're told that it's everything. So we are being misguided, and now we're finding out the unintended consequences. And instead of being honest and transparent and saying, look, we need to bring in people like yourself, a background in molecular biology, in virology, in immunology, in vaccinology. You can check off all those boxes. You have all the credentials, you know, tenured professor and publishing hundreds of articles in peer-reviewed journal. No challenge in your reputation whatsoever, and now you're speaking out, but you're not alone. There are at least 100,000 other doctors and scientists speaking out too, and rather than accept that they may have something to contribute to the dialogue, they're all censored and all attacked. Well, you know who the enemy is. That's the person you're not allowed to criticize in any situation, and so you're not allowed to criticize Anthony Fauci. So here are some criticisms I would like you to address, if you would, please. First and foremost, I'm concerned that the initial statements and the models for how many people would die, and this was done in London at a university, that they were Imperial College, that they were wrong. I mean, massively wrong, by scale wrong, and where they were stating, oh, in Sweden you're going to have millions of dead, they didn't. And instead of correcting it and saying, then if we don't have all these deaths that were predicted, then we shouldn't have the lockdown. But no, it didn't matter how wrong they were in their predictions, the protocols remained the same. That's a red flag. Secondly, initially for the first year, virtually any death in a hospital was labeled as COVID. And they weren't doing autopsies, and they weren't making these results of the autopsies public. It was just, if you died, and it got so absurd that a person died in a motorcycle accident, it's COVID. And nursing home morticians were found in audio conversations to one another to say it doesn't matter who comes through the door as a corpse, it's COVID. And then we start seeing how much more money a hospital got for each patient that was diagnosed and treated for COVID versus for the underlying comorbidity. Then we were told that everybody, all ages, are equally susceptible to COVID, and the consequences mean, gee whiz. So everybody started getting the test. And then instead of having a test that was accurate, they used the Kary Mullis, who won the Nobel Prize for Chemistry in 1996 for discovering the PCR, and I knew him. In fact, an interview I did for an hour and a half with him is up on the internet, been seen millions of times. And he said, my test should not be used as a diagnostic tool. It cannot tell you whether this is a current virus or an old virus. It cannot tell you if this is causing your condition. And then they overamplified the replications, going clear up to 45 to 47, where even Anthony Fauci says, if you are doing this more than 26 times, it's not going to be accurate. But we were doing it far above that. So then the reality is that probably 95% of all people being tested false positive. But then the New York Times started saying that these were cases. So we went from a false positive case test to a positive case. So then we started saying, well, we've got millions, tens of millions of people who've got COVID. No, we didn't have tens of millions of people who had COVID. We had tens of millions of people who had a test that may or may not have had COVID and may have had asymptomatic or symptomatic conditions. But the people who got over the COVID were the ones who then developed natural immunity. And as of this morning, there are 91 articles that show that natural immunity from having been infected is far hardier, from 1,300 to 1,600% greater benefit to your immune system. So when you do come up with another virus, which we all will, then your body's much stronger, your immune system's much stronger to handle it. But instead of saying you who've been naturally immunized by having the virus, you still have to get the vaccine, then I say, show me your peer-reviewed literature studies that having natural immunity and then getting the vaccine enhances your vaccine or enhances your immune system. There are no such studies. In fact, to the contrary, there are studies that I'm going to ask you about. What happens if you have natural immunity and you have no comorbidities and then you get the vaccines, which is what's being advocated, especially in Israel. And that's a terrible situation there. Then we were told that everybody going to the hospital were not vaccinated. So hence the idea that the unvaccinated are taking up space in a hospital for people who have cancer and heart disease, and they're killing these people. So therefore they're murderers. Well, the reality comes out in Ireland, in one city, 99.6% of the people were vaccinated, the highest rate we could find in the world. And almost 95% of the people entering the hospital were with conditions, including other bouts of COVID or the variants, were vaccinated. So if the vaccine prevented infection or reinfection or spreading the infection, it failed miserably. And instead of saying to the world, the vaccine will not stop you from getting COVID, the vaccine will not stop you from getting COVID multiple times, the vaccine will not prevent you from spreading COVID, this was kept quiet. As a result, people then began to be around people with comorbidities and then spread that. And they are not honest about that. So they lied to us about the total mortality. They lied to us about the accuracy of the test to determine if we have it. They lied to us about natural immunity. They lied to us about the safety and efficacy of the vaccines, because the actual data that the FDA requires is that you have two measurements. One is subjective, and that's the one they chose, the 95% efficacy. But the absolute figure was 1% or less, 1%. So no one's going to say, we've got a great vaccine, it protects you 1%. Oh, you mean 99% is not going to protect me? Nobody would take it. That was purely marketing. But every scientist and physician who knew anything about science would know that you have to look at the absolute number, not the subjective number. And the number were there, they chose not to use it. So they lied to us about that. Then they said, don't do any treatment whatsoever, none. There's no treatment that works. And don't you dare use ivermectin. Don't you dare use hydroxychloroquine. Don't you dare use monoclonal antibodies. Don't you dare use azithromycin or 22 other FDA-approved drugs for off-use, because they're bad and they will hurt you, even kill you. And that went out. Lancet, the New England Journal of Medicine, the Journal of the American Medical Association, and then state medical boards in the United States. You use these, you'll lose your license. But doctors were using these and their patients weren't going to the hospital. They were being reversed in their pathology. The pathogenesis was being reversed. But their words were not heard anywhere. Everywhere the drum was beating. Only wait until you're near death, then go into the ICU, and then you'll get one drug. And that was a drug sponsored by Anthony Fauci, The trouble is nobody went to the heart of the matter and looked at the actual data, and that drug was stopped in a clinical study because there was a minimum of a 25% death rate in that first study, and that's the one they used. The media didn't cover it. The scientific community didn't analyze it and see that this was wrong, remdesivir, and as a result, that was what has been used and has been. How many people died because of taking it? We don't know, but it does cause kidneys to fail, which then causes water to build up in the lungs and then infection in the lungs. So we were told the vaccine would work and don't do anything else. It hasn't. Look at all the people who have died and been injured. Then we were told there are no injuries and no deaths, and we found that they weren't giving us the true statistics. So that's where we're at today. Could you take any part of what I just suggested and give us your insights into any one of those, please?
But everything that you said was absolutely correct. I have nothing to add. Nothing to add. Absolutely correct. I would like to sort of almost come to a finish now by saying that one aspect that people have not been thinking about yet that we would like to raise so that everyone realizes what's going on now is that if you go around destroying your own immune system by this fraternal battle that's going on in the lymph nodes, you have to realize that our lymph nodes are full of cells, immune cells, lymphocytes, that are the sentinels of our body. They are watching over us, seeing to it that agents that are asleep in our body, like the herpes viruses, shingles, they stay quiet. You know, the shingles virus, the herpes virus, is in the body of, I would guess, 70% of the world population, all right? And the shingles virus always tries to come out. And then you get shingles if it succeeds. And it's been known that these people who get the vaccines, especially after the second shot, get shingles. I mean, this you could read about this everywhere. And people wonder why. And I tell them it's because the immune system has now lost its sentinels. And those lymphocytes that are responsible for keeping these viruses in check in our body are gone, or they have been reduced in number, and therefore people get shingles. Now, shingles is only one of many viruses that sleep in our body. There are others like the Epstein-Barr virus, which is infectious mononucleosis. You see, this is a term that the lay don't ever hear because you don't diagnose infectious mononucleosis normally as a physician, because the virus is kept in check so well by the immune system. But it is known that if this virus goes rampant, it can do anything that you want it to do. It can cause carditis, pleuritis, encephalitis, pneumonia, hepatitis, you name it, you get it. It can cause Bell's palsy, paralysis. It can cause everything that can also be caused by the attack of the immune system on the blood vessels. They mimic each other. So if someone has a paralysis, Guillain-Barré syndrome, you don't know whether it's a reactivated Epstein-Barr virus or is it because of the thrombosis, the clots that are being formed in those microvessels. And as you very correctly said, no one is ever going to see those vessels, clots, because they are too small. What you have to do is you've got to do postmortems. And as we all know, everyone, all the people who are driving this agenda are trying to stop all postmortems, all analyses of what might be going on in the body. And they're going to extreme measures. Do you know, I'll just tell you the story because it's true. One of the foremost pathologists in Europe is the director of the Department of Pathology at a big, very famous university in Germany. And 8 weeks ago, he gave an interview with a mainstream newspaper in Germany and said that he had done 40 postmortems on people who had died after vaccination. And he is sure that 30 to 40% died because of the vaccine. Now, this can, you can read about this in the newspapers of the end of August. Now, since then, no one has ever heard anything more about the head of department of this famous pathology department, okay? And I have just been told that he has officially retracted his statement to say that he has rarely found any evidence for a connection between vaccine and death. How do you like that one? Okay, now let me come back to the virus reactivation, because this is something very, very important. If you get a reactivation of a dormant sleeping virus in your body, like the Epstein-Barr virus, there is no treatment for this. There's nothing that can treat an Epstein virus outbreak. So anything you do is not going to work, all right? This is so terrible. Something very similar may happen if you have a reactivation of a cytomegalovirus, which is also related to the herpes virus. If a pregnant woman in the first trimester has a reactivation, a massive reactivation of this virus, the virus may enter the child and cause damage to the child that is irreversible, damage to the brain, you know? This is known. So how do you dare do this sort of thing? Now, last thing is that our lymph nodes are full of lymphocytes, sentinels, that are watching over our body to see that whenever a tumor cell arises, and I can tell you that tumor cells, cancer, they are arising all the time in our body, at different paces, but certainly very often. It's like the first flame of a fire. The tumors flare up, and if you don't extinguish them, they're going to spread. And the number of cases where people after vaccination have been seen to develop cancer and tumors is growing by the day, everywhere. And don't wonder about this. If you go around messing with your immune system, this is one of the consequences. And every American should be damn careful, because cancer is not something to dabble about.
I agree, and thank you for these insights. We're down to the last 4 minutes of our program, and I have some short answers, if you would, please. I'm concerned that people who have autoimmune conditions...
But Gary, I have something very important to say.
Yes.
Yes. Of course. Autoimmune conditions are the same. The cells in the lymph nodes control each other, you know, and there are several ways to autoimmunity that I will not go into because time doesn't allow. But one of the predictions that we have made and are making, are going to also publish, is that you are bound to see an explosion of autoimmune disease. You are bound to see this. There can be no other way. But before we end, Gary, the most important thing I want to say is that, as you probably know, yesterday a scientific article appeared in one of the leading journals of the world, British Medical Journal, in which it was officially shown that the clinical trial that Pfizer and BioNTech presented as evidence that the vaccine worked and was efficacious is false and has been is fraudulent. It's been manipulated. So even that 1% protection that you talked about is not there. This means that there is no evidence whatsoever that this vaccine, the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, protects anyone. Now, how any country or any society can go on insisting that something that has never been shown to be efficacious is applied to the whole population, knowing that it is not undangerous, I don't know. But we are now going to start a massive program sending out notices of liability to doctors, to authorities, to say that if you continue this, you are going to be held liable for the damage that you do to the injured, to the mortally wounded, and to the dead.
Good for you. My final thoughts are, I would question any vaccine or any medical device or any medical product that excludes in its test people who have underlying conditions such as cancer, heart disease, dementia, pregnancy. And that's exactly what these studies did. They excluded these people. Now they're giving what the same vaccines that they wouldn't allow these people to participate in because it would skew the results. They're demanding these people take them. That to me is crimes against humanity. Also, children are known by all the studies to have a 99.97% non-mortality rate and overcome COVID quickly. And at least 40% of all children in the United States have been exposed to COVID. Therefore, they have natural immunity. And to give a vaccine with all the side effects that we've seen to a child that is not at risk, to me, is crimes against humanity. And yet that's what we're doing. And now they want pregnant women. And in one study, it was shown they had an 87% of the women in one study had miscarriages, but it was in the third trimester. Up to that point, they were only measuring the first and second trimester, and they didn't see the miscarriage in the third trimester. And Dr. Rose, we can thank for having uncovered that. So I'm just concerned that instead of looking at the truth, we're looking at profits and power. And I want to thank you and the group of scientists that you're associated with and your book and your wife coming forward. And by the way, my guest on this call is Dr. and former professor Sucharit Bukti. And again, he is highly trained, highly qualified, 50 years in the field, 300 published papers, a postdoctoral fellow at the prestigious Max Planck Institute of Immunology and Epigenetics, and also was a professor at the Institute of Medical Microbiology. He knows what he's talking about, and he's putting us on notice. And we want to thank your wife, Karina Rice, for co-writing Corona False Alarm, Facts and Figures with you. Thank you very much, sir. We look forward to our next conversation. I'm Gary Nall. Thank you all for watching the Progressive Commentary Hour. Have a nice day.